Part 4, Chapter 7. Turl drove straight north, following the overgrown bed of an old highway. For all his joviality, he was thinking very hard. Fear and leverage. If you didn't have leverage, you could make fear work. He felt he had already accomplished a little bit. The animal had seemed impressed back there. But he had a lot to do to get both fear and leverage, and get enough of them to break this animal and cow it completely.
Comfortable?
Asked Turl. Johnny snapped out of his daydream and became instantly alert. This was not the Turl he knew. Casual? Chatty, even? Johnny was on his guard.
Where are we going?
Just a little drive. New ground car. Doesn't she run well?
The tank ran well, all right. The plate on the panel said, Mark III General Purpose Tank, Executive. The enemy is dead. Intergalactic Mining Company Serial ET-53647243-54-7. Use only Ferro Power Cartridges and breathe gas. Ferro is the breath and power of life.
Is Ferro part of Intergalactic?
Said Johnny. Turl took his eyes off driving for a moment and looked suspiciously at Johnny. Then he shrugged.
Don't you bother your little rat brain about the size of Intergalactic, animal. It's a monopoly that stretches across every galaxy. It's a size and scope you couldn't grasp if you had 1,000 rat brains.
It's all run from home planet, isn't it?
Why not? Something wrong with that?
No. No, just seems an awfully big company to be run from one planet.
That isn't all Cyclo runs. There's dozens of companies the size of Intergalactic, and Cyclo runs them all.
Must be a big planet.
Big and powerful,
said Turl. Might as well add a little more fear.
Cyclo can and has crushed every opposition that ever stood in her path. One Imperial checkmark on an order, and a whole race can go.
Like the Chinkos?
Yes.
Turl was bored.
Like the human race here?
Yes, and like one rat-brained animal will go, if it doesn't shut up,
said Turl in sudden irritation.
Thank you.
That's better. Even becoming properly polite.
Turl's good humor returned, but it wouldn't have had he realized that the thank you had been for vital information. Abruptly, their headlong pace swept them into the outskirts of the city.
Where are we?
They called it Denver.
Aha, thought Johnny. The great village had been named Denver. If it had a name to itself, that implied that there were other great villages. He reached for the Chinko guidebook of the area and was just reading about the library when the ground car came to a stop.
Where's this?
Inquired Johnny, looking around. They were at the eastern edge of the town and slightly to the south.
Knew you had a rat brain. This is where you...
He laughed suddenly, and that made it hard to talk.
Where you attacked a tank!
Johnny looked around. It was indeed the place. He looked through all the slits, taking in the area.
What are we doing here?
Turl grinned in what he was quite certain was his most friendly grin.
We're looking for your horse. Isn't that nice?
Johnny thought fast. There was more to this. He had better be very calm. He saw no bones, but that meant nothing, for wild animals would have been at work. He looked at Turl and realized the brute actually believed a horse would wait around. Windsplitter most probably had trotted on after them a while, and then wandered back toward home in the mountains.
There are countless animals out in the open here. Picking out those two horses...
Ratbrain, you don't have a grip on machines. It shows. Look here.
Turl turned on a large screen set into the instrument panel. The immediate vicinity showed up on it. Turl turned a knob, and the scene was viewable from different directions. Then Turl pushed a button, and there was a dull pop, like a small explosion in the top of the car. Looking up through the overhead port, Johnny saw a spinning object fly up in the air 100 feet. Turl pushed a lever up, and the object went up. Turl pulled the lever down, and the object came lower. What it was seeing registered on the view screen.
That's why you can't get away. Look!
He changed a lever on the screen, and the image became enlarged. He pushed a button marked Heat Search, and the screen and spinner above went onto automatic. Johnny watched as groups of animals were zeroed in, enlarged, reduced. Other groups found and inspected up close. More animals spotted and examined.
Just sit and watch that, and tell me if you see your horse.
He laughed.
Security Chief of Earth, running a lost and found department for an animal owned by an animal!
He laughed more loudly at his own joke. There were cattle and cattle and cattle. There were wolves, small ones from the nearby mountains, and huge ones down from the north. There were coyotes. There was even a rattler. There were no horses at all.
Well, we'll just drive along to the south. You keep your eyes open, animal, and you'll get your horse back.
They drove at a leisurely pace. Johnny watched the scope. Time went on. Still no horses, none at all. Turl began to get irritated. Leverage, leverage. His luck was out today.
No horses,
said Johnny, and he knew very well that if he had seen Windsplitter, he would have kept still. Turl finally looked at the scope. Ahead of them was a small hill, rocky on top, with a lot of trees distributed around it and darkness in among the trees. There were cattle, some with rather big horns, just to the north of it in the open. Fear, then. The day wouldn't be wasted. He swerved the car into the trees and stopped.
Get out,
said Turl. He put on his breathe mask and hit the door buttons. He threw out the leash and then reached into the huge compartment under the seat and drew out a blast rifle along with a bag of grenades. Johnny stood in the open and took off his mask. He switched tanks before he put it on the seat. It had been a long drive. Turl took a position at the edge of the trees, the rocks behind him, the open plain in front.
Come here, animal.
The leash was trailing. Johnny walked over to Turl. He wasn't going to give the monster a chance to gun him down.
I'm going to give you a little exhibition. I was top shot in my school. You ever notice how neat the rat heads were blown off? Some of them were 50 paces away. You're not listening, animal.
No, Johnny was not listening. He had caught a whiff of something, and he looked at the rocks behind them. There was an opening in them. A cave? There was the whiff again. Turl reached down and jerked the leash, almost snapping Johnny off his feet. Johnny got up from his knees and looked again toward the cave. He gripped the kill club in his fist. With an expert motion, Turl snapped a grenade onto the end of the blast rifle.
Watch this!
There were a half dozen cattle about 80 paces out on the plain. Two of them were heavy-horned bulls, old and tough. The other four were cows. Turl lifted the blast rifle muzzle high and fired. The grenade soared in a long arc over the top of the cattle and landed well beyond them. It exploded in a bright green flash. One cow went down, hit by a fragment. The others leaped and began to run. They ran away from the sound and straight toward Turl. Turl leveled the blast rifle.
Those hoofs are moving,
he said.
So you won't think it's an accident.
The bulls were coming on in a headlong rush. The cows behind them. The ground shook. The distance was closing quickly. Turl began to fire in quick single shots. He broke the legs of the following cows, and they tumbled to earth, bawling. He broke the right front leg of the farthest bull. The other was almost upon them. One final shot, and Turl broke the right front leg of the nearest bull, which skidded to a crumbled heap mere feet in front of them. The air was shattering with the bawls of pain from the cattle. Turl grinned as he looked at them. Johnny looked back at him in horror. That grin behind the faceplate was of pure joy. Johnny felt revulsion for the monster. Turl was... Johnny suddenly realized there was no word for cruel in the cyclone language. He turned toward the cattle. Walking out in front with his kill club to put them out of their agony, he heard a new sound, a rustling rumble. Johnny whirled, coming away from the cave, awakened and angered by all the racket. Charging straight at Turl's back was the biggest grizzly bear Johnny had ever seen.
"Behind you!"
he yelled, but his voice was drowned in the bawling of the cattle. Turl just stood there grinning. A moment later, the bear roared. Turl heard it and started to turn. But he was too late. The grizzly hit him in the back with an impact that sent out a shockwave. The blast rifle, driven from Turl's paws, soared into the air toward Johnny. He caught it in his left hand. But Johnny wasn't thinking of the blast rifle as any more than a club. And he had his own kill club up and striking before the bear could aim a second blow at Turl. The kill club caught the grizzly square on the brain pan. The bear staggered, distracted, and stunned. Johnny sailed in again. The bear struck out with a massive clawed blow. Johnny went under it. The kill club hit again on the brain pan. The bear reared up and struck at the kill club as it came in again. The thong snapped. Johnny grasped the rifle by the barrel. The grizzly came at him with gaping jaws. The rifle stock crashed into the bear's teeth. Johnny struck again on the brain pan. With a dwindling roar, the bear went down. It stayed down, its limbs twitching in death. Johnny backed up. Turl was lying on his side, conscious. His mask was in place. His eyes behind the faceplate were wide and staring. Johnny backed up farther. Thank God the leash hadn't caught on anything and tripped him during the fight. He snapped the leash to him. Then he turned his attention to the gun. It had little labels on its controls. The safety catch was off. There was a charge under the trigger. It was scratched, but not otherwise damaged. Johnny looked at Turl. Turl looked back, his claws flexing and unflexing, waiting. He was certain the animal would level the gun and kill him. His paw stole down to his belt gun. If Johnny saw the movement toward the belt gun, he ignored it. He turned his back on Turl. He located the sights on the blast rifle and then, with six shots, put the crippled cattle out of their misery. Johnny put on the safety catch. He reached into his pouch and got a piece of sharp-edged glass and walked over to the bear and began to skin it. Turl lay and looked at him. At length, he realized he had better check himself out. A pain in his back, a rip in his collar, a bit of green blood on his paw. He tested his back. It was nothing serious. He went over to the car and sat down on a seat with the doors open and hunched there, still looking at Johnny.
"You're not going to carry that hide inside this car," said Turl.
Johnny didn't look up from his skinning.
"I'll lash it on top."
At length, Johnny bundled up the hide and went over to the youngest cow. Working deftly with the sharp glass, he took out the tenderloin and tongue, cut a haunch, and wrapped them in the bear hide. Johnny took some thongs from his pouch and lashed the hide with its meat to a gun mount on the car top. Then he handed the blast rifle to Turl.
"The safety is on."
He was cleaning himself up with handfuls of grass. Turl looked at him. Fear? Fear be damned. This animal had no fear in him. Leverage. It had to be leverage. Lots of it.
"Get in. It's getting late."